This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
It appears the Cowboys are in some kind of discussion with the guy they paid a lot of cash to at one point in time and maybe put themselves in a bad spot. But the headlines read like this: Cowboys contemplating Ezekiel Elliott reunion. Cowboy rumors: Ezekiel Elliott agent meet with team ahead of 2024 draft. Ezekiel Elliott, Cowboys met Wednesday about possible return. Cowboys breaking: Dallas meeting with Zeke at the Star. I just wonder, is this about appeasing Dak, who calls him his little brother and all that kind of stuff? Is this filling a need? Could you get a cheaper, better fill, fresher legs if you selected somebody in the draft? I mean, plenty of teams have drafted running backs in the fourth and fifth round and, you know, had some success. Or is this, you know, okay, we kind of know what he can do, and he's serviceable. He's not necessarily going to be replacing Tony Pollard or anything along those lines, but, you know, he's still got something left in the legs.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's odd that he calls him his little brother. Didn't they come in at the same time? Yeah. That's weird.
Well, I think that's what he calls him. I mean,
okay, that's weird.
I mean, his brother is, yeah, but they're they're connected. How about that?
Yeah, they're definitely that. You know, I think there's probably some thought that he could be a second back, or if you drafted somebody, and I would imagine the Cowboys will at that position, mm-hmm. that would be a shared load. So you'd have a veteran and you'd have a young guy, and I would imagine the guy that you're drafting is not going to be a guy that's, you know, a big bruiser like Zeke is. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you would go with a change of pace there, but surely they don't think he's their lead guy.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, we've kind of had that. I mean, if we've seen that movie, could he be a guy that could come in and help you pick up a third down and first down and third and short or something like that? Possibly.
Sure.
Could he provide a little protection for Dak? Possibly. You know, but I mean, then you kind of look at him and go, man, he's the guy that was supposed to give you an awful lot and really.
Well, and he did for stretches. He was really good.
Yeah. He did. He was good, but then
he got old, like running backs do,
right,
in a hurry.
And then you were overpaying him.
Yes.
He got old and overpaying him. And that basically happened.
That wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't his fault.
I mean, he came into the best shape in his life, into the training camps, and except when he was looking for money.
Yeah, when he was not there.
Yeah, there's truth to that. There's truth to that. The consensus on the Dallas Morning News for the guys that are there inside the huddle, so to speak, with the team that cover the team on a day-to-day basis, the consensus seems to be offensive linemen. There's disagreement about which offensive lineman. There's a guy from BYU. There's a center from West Virginia. There's
So we're settling on an offensive lineman from the Big 12.
There's one from Georgia. There's one from Duke. Yeah, and you know,
because the first one that you had mentioned earlier was from Oklahoma,
right? So. Big 12 guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what was interesting to me last night when I was looking at, and I this was literally the first night that I had looked at projected, you know, mock drafts. I'm not really a big mock draft guy.
You're more of a mock turtleneck guy.
I am. I do like the mock turtleneck. Mm-hmm. I do. Very, very much. Funny guy. I was kind of shocked at how few Big 12 players there were in the first round.
So let me guess, there's a lot of them from the SEC.
Going to the – yeah, there's a lot of them from the SEC.
And maybe Big Ten.
Yeah.
Like from Ohio State and Michigan.
Right. Right, but I mean,
who'd have thunk it?
In this one mock draft, the first Big 12 player is not until the number 11 pick. It's a guy from Texas. And then you have to go all the way down to, like, number, in this one, I'm down to 21, and it's a Texas wide receiver. And then you get to the Cowboys, and you have the Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, the offensive tackle. And then I think there was another Texas receiver that was projected to go in the first round.
Yeah, just I guess it just speaks to the level of talent that you're talking about in the SEC and the Big Ten.
Well, yeah, right.
And maybe not so much in the Big 12.
Yeah, I guess I was not that I chart this or anything, but it's just like, man, doesn't seem like very many.
If you did.
If I charted it, yeah. I would really not have very much time on my hands. I'd have too much time on my hands if I would not be doing something I was supposed to be doing if I was charting that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, I was just like, there's like, okay, is that an indictment on the Big 12 in terms of skill position type players, the prestige of the league, or do we already know that it is what it is on that? Because you look at how long it's been since you've had a national champion from the Big 12 or even somebody that you would even consider to be in contention, even though they've made college football playoff or even the semifinal games or whatever it is.
Yeah, I just think there's more talent in the SEC. Yeah. That's why the teams are better.
Yeah.
For the most part. And they're the, you know, high level teams that are competing for national championships.
Yeah, no. That's, you're not wrong there. It was just like when you kind of look at that and go, whoa, wow. And, you know, the only players that we have going in the first round are now with teams that have moved on to the SEC in Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, there's, you know, one BYU player, but they're newbies. I mean, you know, not very many people from the good old rank and file of the Big 12.
Disappointing.
It is disappointing, yes.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Time for this day in sports history. Do you know what 4 months ago today was?
January the 25th.
Well, technically it was December the 25th.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And 8 months from today is what?
Well, I guess it'd be Christmas.
Yeah. I guarantee you, somebody has started a countdown somewhere, but that's somebody.
At least next to Jamie Lint has.
It's at least not Jeff McGuire who has this day in sports history.
Heard Choice ask Sneed yesterday if he'd started putting down things for his Christmas list. So I guess Choice is counting,
Choices,
too.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Choices.
See, I'm just choosing to celebrate the perfect date today.
Oh, is today the perfect date day?
It's the perfect date.
Yeah.
It's not too hot, not too cold, just a light sweater. For Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's over my head.
I unfortunately got that.
1933, Philadelphia Phillies' Dick Bartle is the first Major League Baseball player to get four consecutive doubles in nine innings.
Wow.
1950, Chuck Hoover becomes the first African-American to be drafted into the NBA.
Chuck Cooper. Okay.
1974, NFL moves the goalposts and adopts sudden death in the playoffs.
From the goal line to the back of the goal line.
That would be moving them, yes.
Well, too many teams were using, especially when they had the double, crossbar, you know, the double posts coming down. Too many teams were using those as a means to kind of do plays around those. And then too many guys were running into the goalposts as well, causing injury. None fatal.
That's good.
Yes. As a Dallas Cowboy fan, mm-hmm. I almost, as a general rule, hate everything Philadelphia. The cheesesteak is okay, but I think the Italian beef is better. However, on this day in 1974, the Philly Fanatic makes his first appearance. And I'm all in on the Philly Fanatic.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you how you felt about that.
I like the Philly Fanatic.
He's pretty funny. Yeah.
1981, Seattle Mariners Major League Baseball manager Murray Wills is suspended for 2 games.
Murray?
Was he arguing balls and strikes? No. Did he say a word he shouldn't have used? No.
Probably.
Did he try to enlarge the batter's box by 1 foot after telling the grounds crew to make the chalk lines further out? Yes.
Nice.
The best part about Murray Wills, he was a base stealing fool, was his son Bump Wills. Bump played for the Rangers for a little bit.
2014. The number 21 Texas Tech Red Raiders scored in 5 straight innings to open the game and used 5 strong innings of relief from senior Johnny Droz to defeat Oklahoma 9-5. Sophomore first baseman Eric Gutierrez drove in a pair in the first with an RBI single down the right field line, and sophomore left fielder Tyler Nesloney gave Tech a 5-2 lead in the second with his 3rd home run of the season.
Let's go.
And on this day in 2019, didn't work out so well. NFL draft, Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray, #1 pick by the Arizona Cardinals.
They're still insistent that he's the guy that can take them to a Super Bowl.
Got the head coach fired. Didn't work out so well.
No, there's no doubt. I don't think he's... I would tell you that if I had to choose between Dak and Kyler Murray, I'd take Dak.
I would as well.
I forced your hand, Jeff.
Murray, because he's younger.
Man, he's too short.
I don't think it's that he's too short.
He's just not good enough, too.
I think he's... Yeah.
That's where the rub is. But Dak's getting old and not good.
Yeah. Happy leadership, all the above, yeah.
Happy National Zucchini Bread Day.
How you feeling about that?
I'm going to pass.
Okay, me too.
Happy birthday, Al Pacino, 84.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Lee, 54. Renee Zellweger, 55. The Big Fundamental, 48. Hank Azaria, 60. And D'Angelo Williams, 41. Chuck, do you know who the Big Fundamental is?
Tim Duncan.
Very good.
Nicely done, Mr. Hines.
I'm not without some skill.
And we just proved it. Well done. And hence why you just got 2 attaboys right there.
Thank you.
On this day, 1945, President Harry S. Truman learns the full details of the Manhattan Project, in which scientists are attempting to create the first atomic bomb. The information thrust upon Truman was a momentous decision whether or not to use the world's first weapon of mass destruction. Truman authorized the continuation of the project and agreed to form an interim committee that would advise the president on using the weapon. He'd actually kind of stumbled upon the existence of the Manhattan Project.
Is that right?
When he was doing an audit of the U.S. military and saw this giant amount of money being spent in Minneapolis, which
what's
is
this?
And the Secretary of the Secretary of Defense basically told him, "Ignore that," and he did. And that is the Stan Sports History.
All right, time for your lucky local winning word this morning. Double T 97.3 in the home zone, making your house a home. Have teamed up to give you a little bit of extra cash this year. So all you have to do is go to DoubleT973.com to get registered and then listen to us every morning at this time, 8:45 and 4:45, for the local winning word. Then log on to DoubleT973.com and enter that word for your chance to win weekly cash prizes. Somebody is going to win some cash today. The more times you enter, the more chances you have to win, just like our friend David Estrada did the other day. It's not a national contest. It's a local one. So the money is given away to folks that live right here in Lubbock, Texas, USA. We'll give away one final cash giveaway of $2,500 at Two Docks on Thursday, June the 20th. It's a cash giveaway with local winners from the Home Zone, Making Your House a Home, and Double T 97.3. They are not winners right now, and they certainly weren't last night, but your lucky local winning word this morning at 6:52, Jamie, is Astros.
Astros.
Astros. A-S-T-R-O-S, no apostrophe, Astros. But if you put one in, you'll still be qualified to win from Double T 97.3 and the Home Zone. Okay? Astros. Man, they are...
Reeling.
They're reeling to the point where... Okay, this is crazy talk. This is just crazy talk. But I think you've come to expect that, right?
No comment.
Okay. Come to expect that.
Expect the worst, hope for something a little bit better.
Right. Those things. Does their new manager, Ed Espada, survive the season?
I think it's a fair question. I mean, you're going to give him more time, no question. But, I think it's a fair question.
You know, he's going to point to, and fans of the team that are true loyalists will go, hey, we have been decimated with our pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big factor. And that's why I say you're going to give it more time.
So, I'm not analyzing every game. I have no chart on how many bad calls he's made to the bullpen or, you know, blunders that he's made of putting a second baseman at center field and then kind of, well, why can't we catch the ball out there? You know, those kinds of things.
Wow. That would be exciting.
Yeah, send him out to right field. He says he's a shortstop, coach. Send him out to right field. Shake it up a little bit.
The Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
7:15 this morning here on The Morning Drive. Good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. The NFL draft is tonight. We'll have the Cowboy draft coverage for you at 6 o'clock. We've got day baseball today. Astros and the Cubs from Wrigley at 12:50. That'll be on 100.7 The Score. Rangers and the Mariners from Arlington today. So it's a getaway day from Chicago for the Astros. They'll travel on to Denver to take on the Rockies over the weekend. Rangers will remain at home to face the Cincinnati Reds this weekend. We'll have coverage at various times. And then we'll have the Ranger game today at 1. We'll also have Friendship taking on San Angelo Central as we're winding down the high school baseball season, getting ready for the playoffs. 6 o'clock on sunny 97.7 tonight as Friendship will play host to San Angelo Central. And then the Cowboys first-round draft coverage will begin at 6 o'clock tonight. So here's some Red Raider names to maybe look for tonight. Well, none tonight. This would be tomorrow. Your one choice tomorrow is going to probably be Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. He's, by some accounts, like CBS Sports, second round, 58th overall. Others have him in the third round. Pro Football Focus does with the 95th pick. That would go to the Chiefs. The 58th pick is with the Packers. That's if everything holds true. The Athletic has him at number 96. That would be the Jacksonville Jaguars as it stands right now. And then a guy from NFL.com has him going to the Arizona Cardinals in the fourth round. And then another guy from ESPN, Jason Reed, has him going to the Atlanta Falcons in the fourth round as well. So that's the highest selection. That probably doesn't surprise you, does it?
No, I think that's the guy that's the hardest to replace that you're missing off of last year's team. And I think a talented guy who looks like he's got the skill set to compete and have a career at the next level.
And then Miles Cole is really not picked to do anything until the fourth round by some, sixth round by others. And then Pro Football Focus doesn't have him as a draft pick at all, which, again, when you start getting to that late stages of the draft, then it's not. I think it's seven rounds now. There were times when it was 16 and 17 rounds.
Yeah, I think it's just seven.
So you kind of get to that point, you go, okay, would you rather be would you rather be drafted, or would you rather go somewhere where you can kind of pick to see if that's a better slot for you?
I'll be honest, I think the fourth round really surprised me with Miles Cole.
You think that's higher than what you would have thought?
Yes. I mean, compared to what you got out of him, I mean, he wasn't a major impact player for you.
Okay. Okay. Tyler Owens, they have him in the seventh round to several teams, including the Cowboys, Washington Commanders, and then some have him as an undrafted free agent. And then Austin McNamara, he'll be a guy that'll be signed, probably not drafted, just because punters just aren't drafted.
You don't use a lot of picks on punters.
I mean, there have been guys taken in the past, drafted in the past. And I think he'll be an NFL player, don't you?
I think he has a shot. Again, this is one that it feels like it's important for him to end up in the right place.
But I think
where there's an opening,
you would think, though, I mean, that with you would think with his
because it's not like teams carry three punters.
No, it's not. But you would think
only
with his
one spot for every team.
You would think with his hang time, you know, with the his length, you know, he didn't have. Gosh, I'd have to go back and look. If he had any punts blocked, it was like one or two, but I don't think he had any that I can just recall off the top of my head.
Yeah, it seems like there was one last year that got tipped, but I'm with you. That's not been an issue.
So anyway, those are the guys that are expected to be drafted, and then guys that could be signed. Let me ask you this: I'm gonna read you a list of names, and then you tell me if any of these guys you think will stick with a team, okay? Baylor Cup.
Yes.
Malik Dunlap.
Yes.
Jalen Hutchings.
Yes.
Okay, wow. Tyreek Matthews.
Probably not.
Cole Spencer.
Probably not.
Rusty Stats.
Probably not.
Xavier White.
Probably not.
Dennis Wilburn.
Probably not.
Okay. He might. Rashad Williams.
No.
No. And White, maybe, just because he's got some escapability and he's got the ability to catch the ball, but it'd have to be a real specialized situation.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have the ability to catch the ball.
There are, yes.
Again, I'm just going off what these guys did here at Texas Tech. And yeah. I mean, if you're not an elite player at this level, then you're probably not making it at the next level.
Right. Right. And let's face it, you know, the offensive linemen didn't have just elite years last year.
No.
Especially when it comes to pass blocking, which is really critical in the National Football League.
That being said, it's not like Baylor Cup had an elite year either, but I felt like that was a guy that was underutilized.
Okay.
And sometimes the NFL game may fit a guy better than it does the college game fits him.
Yeah. 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 7:22 this morning here on the morning drive. And so if you have a Red Raider picked, it's going to be tomorrow. Because Dadrian Taylor Demerson is not going to all of a sudden just pop up into the first round unless somebody's just, you know, crazy in love.
Who's the best example, Jamie, of for Red Raiders where the college game didn't fit them as much as the NFL did? I'd say Jace, but his career was so short in the NFL.
No, I think the exact opposite with Jace. He was a great college player,
yes,
but healthy.
Yes.
But he never amounted to anything in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And that injuries had something to do with it. But, he's the opposite, in my opinion. A guy that had more success in the NFL than, how about Terrence Steele?
I think Terrence Steele's an excellent example of that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was an undrafted free agent when he signed with the Cowboys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And look at him now.
He also did a lot to change for the NFL.
Well, you're allowed to improve.
You're allowed, and he absolutely did that between his first and second year in the NFL. He fell into the starting job with the Cowboys because everybody in front of him got hurt, and he got owned a little bit and decided he didn't want to have that to happen anymore.
All right, I'll throw a name out to you, and you're going to go, I don't think so. But I think Danny Amendola had a better NFL career than he did Red Raider career.
I thought both were great.
But, I mean, he just took it – because of where he went, you know, with the Patriots, he had the opportunity to kind of take that next level.
But he really never was a star in the NFL.
He caught some big balls, though, for him.
Sure, but he was not, like, a star. I mean, okay. Was he ever a Pro Bowler?
Would you say that Wes Welker had a better college career or a better NFL career?
I think he had great both. Mm-hmm. I think I would probably say NFL.
Yeah, I think I would, too. But I agree with you. But I think he had a – he'll be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I think, at some point in time.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Jamie's question of the day on Double T 97.3 is brought to you by Kinetico of West Texas.
Yes.
All right, gentlemen. My question for you today is very difficult to answer.
They're always difficult. I mean, or we make them difficult, or I make it difficult.
My question for you today is, which Red Raider team will finish higher in the Big 12 standings in the 2024-2025 season? Your Red Raider men's basketball team or your Red Raider football team? It's hard because one team, you know the roster. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what the roster is going to look like for the other. That's the part that makes it hard. But we also didn't know last year, and the roster turned out to be pretty good. And your coach did a great job. Mm-hmm. They finished pretty high.
I actually think this is an easy question because I think the basketball parity is more there. I mean, yeah, you're going to have a couple teams at the top, but I think your ability to finish in the top five, top four, even top three, hell, even winning the damn thing, is easier. And I say easier in quotation than I think football. Because I think there's too many questions about football. Offensive line, defensive backfield, quarterback, wide receivers. And while you can say, well, Chuck, there's not very much on the basketball team right now. Well, I got it. But, you know, you got Cambridge back. You know, you got Chance McMillan back. Kerwin Walton be foolish to leave, and you got these cats coming in that you feel like can play. So I'm going to say hoops.
Okay. So there's a lot to unpack there. I'm going to say football. You have a better chance of ending up higher in football. Remember when we talked about this yesterday, I thought Tech was the fourth best team in the Big 12. When we were figuring out where everybody was going to be sitting ahead of time. And when I look at how tough basketball is in the Big 12, like, that's the catch. Mm-hmm. And we don't even know the basketball schedule yet. You could have Houston and Kansas both twice. And I'm not saying that you're scared of either one of them, but that's a tough road.
I'll say it.
That's not an easy thing to do, and you didn't exactly play well against Houston this past year, both times you played them. That doesn't mean I don't think Grant McCaslin can coach, and that doesn't mean that I don't think he can put a roster together. But when facing the SEC of basketball, I'm going to take the Big 12 of football every time.
That was pretty well said. I mean, that was really well said. I mean, that's pretty smart. But I'm sticking with basketball.
I think both teams will finish somewhere between 4 and 6. Okay, so I think it's pretty tight as far as when you're comparing them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Eileen, my initial thought was it's a lot easier in football than basketball. I just think that this conference is so difficult in basketball, mm-hmm. especially now when you've added Houston to the mix and Iowa State's rolling. Kansas will be better than they were last year, unfortunately.
Somebody brings up Arizona, too.
Arizona, really good basketball program. Yeah. They're a good football program, too, though, right now. I think you're going to finish closer to 4 in football and closer to 6 in basketball. And so my answer is basketball.
You know what's going to happen now, don't you? They're going to finish 5th in both of them.
Okay, well then.
And none of us would be upset with that, necessarily. You finish 5th in the Big 12 in basketball?
Hell yeah. You got to let me see what happens to decide if we, yeah.
Which would you take today?
5th in both?
Which would you take? Either 5th in football or 5th in basketball today? Like, lock it down.
5th in basketball.
Because you're going to say, in no uncertain order, Arizona, Kansas, Houston is going to be ahead of you. Is that what you're going to say?
Probably. And I put Baylor, Iowa State in that conversation with the other one. That means you're beating one of those teams and... Being 5th in the Big 12 in basketball gets you a pretty good seed in the NCAA tournament.
I would take both.
You would take both.
If you told me Tech is going to finish 5th place in the conference in both, I would say I would take that.
What do you think it takes for a conference record in football to be 5th in the Big 12? Do you think it takes 6-3 or is 5-4 good enough?
It's probably 6-3.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 5-4, but probably 6-3.
But I'd also say 5th doesn't get you into the college football playoff, partially for how small it is. But
5th in
the
Big 12?
Yeah.
Well, number 2 in the Big 12 probably wouldn't get you into the college
right,
football
but,
playoff.
And that's why
might this
take,
year with 12 teams. Might.
5th in the Big
that's
12.
That's a big might. No, 2.
Oh, 2 in the Big 12. Okay.
2, yeah. That's a big might.
And that probably happens if... The number 2 seed wins the Big 12 championship over a number 1 seed that might have one loss.
I would say in the history of the Big 12, the number 2 team in the conference probably 50% of the time would have made the 12.
Would have made the 12?
Only about 50%.
Okay. Somebody says this, I wouldn't take 5th in football, not remotely with our schedule. Okay. Very plausible for football to finish top 3, but unlikely in basketball with KU, Houston, Baylor, Zona, and Iowa State. Well, you make a good point there. To get this from Red Raider Two Guns, Tech hasn't sniffed a Big 12 championship since 2009. True.
Nobody's disagreeing.
We know several pieces of our basketball team already. Not sure why people keep acting like we don't know much about our basketball team.
Well, how many guys have they committed to? And how many guys have left?
Well, you got
3 or 4 left?
Yeah, you got enough to field a team.
So you got like 6 guys.
You got 5.
Let's not act like we know everybody who's going to be on the roster.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got some.
Yeah, you got some good pieces. Yeah, sure you do. Definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's not act like. I mean, Joe Toussaint was added way, 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 way late.
Right.
Right. If last year. I mean.
I probably would have switched to football if I felt like Baron Morton was going to be healthy and 100%. And
your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Good morning with Jamie Lent, Jeff McGuire, and Chuck Hines. Hour from now, it's the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score. Bottom line, briefly today at high noon, then we'll have Astros baseball. They play at Wrigley Field today against the Cubs. Good old-fashioned day baseball there from Chicago. Astros spinning out of control. You know, there's like a spaceship that needs to get its, you know, self about themselves. I forget what it's called, the left and the right, Jeff. You know, the gyro. You have the gyro going. Their gyro is way out of whack. there's a, when you go to your left, you this, and your right that, and it helps you get back into control.
Port and starboard?
No, it's not port and starboard. It's called something different for the spaceships, but I just can't remember what it's called. It's not port starboard. Your gyros are spinning. Anyway, their gyro is spinning in a bad way, and they'll try to see if they can gain control of their ship today against the Cubs. Rangers and the Mariners will have that game for you at 1 on Double T 97.3, and then Friendship and San Angelo Central High School Hoop Baseball today at 6 on Sunday 97.7. The Red Raiders will be in action tomorrow, taking on Kansas in Lawrence. The Jayhawks are 22-15 overall, 9-9 in the conference. And Jamie, when you look at the conference standings, you've got Oklahoma at the top at 14-4, then Oklahoma State, West Virginia, and Texas all tied at 11-7. Red Raiders are 12-9, so they've played one more series than the teams above them. And then Kansas State, Kansas, Cincinnati, and Baylor are 9-9. How many teams do you think are... Two-part question. How many teams are playing for a spot in the NCAA tournament, okay, that still have work to do? And then of this list here, how many do you think potentially could host a regional?
I think Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are the ones that I think at this point I wouldn't be shocked to see them hosting a regional.
Okay.
Anybody else would really surprise me.
At this point.
Yeah.
Unless you got hot and won.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say in Tech's case, you won this series, you won the series with Oklahoma on the road, and then you won the series with Oklahoma State. Oklahoma's at home, Oklahoma State's on the road. Sorry.
Correct.
So if you won those three series, then that might put you back in contention?
You'd still definitely, I mean, you probably might need to sweep one or two of those. Still.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not like the New Mexico game the other day. That's not the game that broke the straw. That's not the game that broke the camel's back, right, in terms of hosting. Even if you'd won that game, you would have still had work to do, right?
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't have gotten... you were going to lose points playing New Mexico, RPI points, just playing them.
Mm-hmm.
And you only dropped two spots. So
right.
You may have dropped two winning the game. Which is just shows how dumb the whole RPI thing
mm-hmm.
is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's, you know, the bulk of what you've done this season, the missed opportunities of what you've had, that's the bigger, you know,
story
issue than just one midweek loss.
Yeah. So of these teams, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Texas, Texas Tech, K-State, Kansas, Cincinnati, are all those teams tournament teams, or some of those teams have work to do?
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, the standings do not bear out where these teams sit in the RPI.
Mm-hmm.
I think Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, I think you can stop right there and feel like, okay, those three teams, it would be a major surprise to see them not make the postseason. I mean, Texas's RPI is in the 70s, and they're sitting at fourth place in the conference. I think Texas has a lot of work to do to get into the postseason. Okay. Texas Tech, Kansas State, those two teams, right now their RPI has them in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but they could play themselves out of the tournament. They could play themselves into a better two or three seed, whatever we're talking about here. I'm beyond that, Kansas, Cincinnati, Baylor, they come up next. I think I would tell you I'll be surprised if any of those three is in the postseason.
How about
okay? UCF, TCU, especially UCF, they're 8-10. I expect them to be in the postseason.
And
okay,
their baseball team is kind of like their basketball team. I mean, they've beaten some teams, including the Red Raiders, at home. I mean, they've had a nice start, nice start to their Big 12 career.
And TCU's RPI is in the 30s. So, I mean, again, they could play themselves out of this thing. They're 8-13. I mean, they're in danger of missing the Big 12 tournament. I think if they don't make the Big 12 tournament, I think they probably don't make the NCAA tournament.
So is it 8 for the Big 12 tournament, or is it? Is that
it's
right?
10.
10?
It's 10.
Oh, there's 11 teams. That's right, because of the...
There's 13 teams.
13 teams that play baseball.
Yeah, Houston, BYU, TCU, the final three right now don't make the Big 12 tournament.
Okay. So it's,
and you have two teams that have a quote unquote first round bye to the second day.
Yeah. Do you like that the top 10 are the only ones that make it, or would you prefer just one team get eliminated?
There's only so much. I mean, there's only so much baseball that can be played.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so no, I do like it.
Okay.
I do like it. And it also, in my opinion, creates some excitement down there at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Like teams jockeying to get in.
Would you be up for...
If the Red Raiders were one of those teams right now, I'd be like, nah, everybody should make it to the Big 12 tournament.
Would you be up for only 8 getting into the Big 12 tournament, or is that too few?
It feels like too few. I like that it's a little bit different this year. I'm anxious to see how it goes and see what I think about it. But I just like that it's a little bit different. I like mm-hmm. it's okay to reward those top two teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean they did good work, so give them a reward.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So what's your take on this Kansas team? They're 22-15 and they're 9-9, and we'll get to that in just a moment and kind of go through the kind of season for them in terms of what they've done in the Big 12. Like I said, they're 9 up and they're 9 down. They have some wins over teams that you don't have wins over, and you have some wins over teams that they don't have wins over in terms of the Big 12 series. We'll do that next here this morning on the Morning Drive. We'll have Red Raider Baseball on the air for you tomorrow night from Lawrence at 5:30, play-by-play at 6, and then Saturday it's a 1:30 airtime, 2 o'clock first pitch. And Sunday, 12:30 and 1 o'clock, scheduled first pitch there in River City.
Chuck?
Yeah.
Pitch and roll?
Pitch and roll. That's what I was trying to get. Yeah, thank you. Pitch and roll. Pitch and roll.
It's the Morning Drive.
Their pitch and roll is out of whack. The Astros' pitch and roll is out of whack. You like that? Pitch and roll. So we're giving you some space terms to use in your walking around, kind of normal. Yeah, the pitch and roll was kind of off this morning on the Morning Drive.
This morning?
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.